The parsha this week is Parsha Shoftim, and starts off with Shoftim v'Shotrim Titein Lecha B'chol Sha'arecha, which means judges and officers you shall appoint, you shall put B'chol Sha'arecha in all of your gates, Asha Hashem Alekecha Nosin Lecha L'Shavatecha, for your tribes, V'Shoftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek, and they shall judge the people with a mishpat tzedek, with a judgment of righteousness. So this parasha talks about different laws of a bezdin, of judges. For example, the next pasuk says, losata mishpat, that the judge shall not pervert the judgment. Losake ponim, don't show favoritism to any of the litigants. Losichad shochad, don't take bribery. Because bribery blinds the eyes of the wise, visalef divrei tzaddikim, and makes just words crooked. Tzedek tzedek tirdof. That's a familiar pasuk. Tzedek tzedek tirdof. Righteousness, righteousness, you shall pursue. Lemantichia, in order that you shall live. Veyirashtas aretz, and inherit the land. Asher Hashem Elokecha nosein loch, that Hashem is giving to you. So, other topics of the parasha. So, as is my way, we're not going to go beyond that. We're just going to zoom in with a microscope and analyze maybe one or two words. So, the Medrash Rabbah, so I did make a couple of copies of this. It's only in Hebrew, so I apologize. It's just I just had to have extra couple of copies. So, the Medrash Rabbah, again, famously, always takes a pasuk in the parasha and then segues into a different pasuk somewhere else in Tanakh, analyzes that pasuk, and then comes back to this pasuk. So we're going to go on a journey now into a different pasuk, into a different verse in Mishlei, in Proverbs. So the Medrash says, it's number 2 on the sheet over there, Beis, Zesh Omar Kosov, this verse over here, our verse of Shoftim v'Shotrim, judges and officers you shall appoint for yourselves. This is similar to that, or relates to that which is written by Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon in Mishlei. He said, Leich al nemala otzel. The lazy one should go to an ant. The lazy person should go and visit an ant hill. Go visit an ant. It's funny, when I was learning this, when I was a kid, I used to sit in the backyard of my in Liverpool, and when the sun was shining, that's, you know, occasionally when the sun shined, and occasionally when it was nice weather, right? So I used to sit outside and I used to look at ants. I always had like this name. I always would give the same name to an ant, Fred the ant. That was always, no matter what ant it was called Fred the ant. I had this fascination with these ants, and I'd watch it crawl on my hand, and, you know, so fast forward maybe 40 or so years, and I'm suddenly realizing today why I had such a fascination with ants, because of this medrash over here. So we'll see what the medrash, because the Shlomo Melech says that you should look. I mean, not that I was lazy, but Shlomo Melech says that the lazy person should go to the ant. Go visit an ant hill, watch an ant, look at an ant, and learn from the ant, the pasuk says. Re'ei derechecha v'chacham. Watch its ways, observe its ways, and grow wise. The ant has a lot to teach us. Asher ein lo kotzin, shota moshal. The ant does not have any officer, doesn't have any chief, does not have any ruler over it. But nonetheless, tachin bekayetz lachma, it prepares in the summertime its bread, its food. And ogre bekotzim achola, and in the harvest time, it stores it all away. It stores all the food away for itself, for the future. That's the pasuk, that is the verse. So therefore, Shlomo says, look at an ant, lazy one. Look at how diligent it is, how industrious it is. It does all of these things, stores away all the food for itself. And therefore, the ant becomes the metaphor or the paradigm or the example of non-laziness, but diligence and industriousness. But that's the pasuk. The Medrash takes this pasuk and says, this is going to relate to our parasha. So the Medrash continues and says, Mar Shlomo lelamed latzelman in the mala. What did Shlomo see specifically, more thoroughly? What did he see in the end that we should learn from? So the Rabbanan said, Well, look at an ant. Namala hazu, this ant, this little ant. Shlosha batim yeshla, an anthill. You learn a lot from the Medrash. You learn a lot about, you know, biology and botany and, you know, animals. You learn a lot from that because an ant has shlosha batim, has three stories in its anthill. I didn't know that, right? So it has three stories. Ve'ena kanesis be'elyon mipnei delef. It doesn't store its food in the top story because of delef, because of drip, because of the top one, because of drip, because of rain, because of the dripping water and the rain. So it's not, so it doesn't make sense to store away the grain inside the top story because of the rain. V'lo betachtum v'deatina, nor in the lower story because of the mud on the ground. Elabamtsoi, but rather in the middle story. This is what ants do. They store the food inside the middle story of the anthill. That's number one. V'eina chaya elashisha chadoshem. An ant only lives for 6 months. It's a 6 month lifespan.
Wow.
Lama, says the Medrash, shemisha ein logidim atzomas eina chaya elashisha chadoshem. Apparently creatures that don't have any sinews or bones only live for 6 months, approximately. Right? So an ant doesn't have any bone structure, therefore it only lives for 6 months. So it gathers all its food, lives only for 6 months. The kol machola eina elachita matza. And how much does an ant eat in the course of its lifetime? A grain and a half. A grain and a half, a piece of wheat, one grain of wheat and a half, 1.5 grains of wheat in its entire life. Vehi holeches, but nonetheless, despite its short life, and despite the small amount of food that it eats, 1.5 grains of wheat, nonetheless, he holachas and machneses bekayetz, it nonetheless goes and gathers in the summertime, kol mashemutza, whatever it finds, chit and sa'or and doshin, wheat, barley, and lentils, a whole pile of stuff. It does that. It piles up so much stuff, it, for its short lifespan, and for not for itself, because it's only eating a grain and a half of wheat. Amr Ptanchumer, Ptanchumer explains, he says, this ant, all it eats is just 1.5 grains of wheat. And it gathers all of this, like this colossal amount of food. It gathers so much. Lama he also came. Why does it do that? Why is the ant doing it? Shomer, the reason is because the ant says to itself, at least, you know, metaphorically, it says to itself, Shema yigza alai kodesh baruch hu, maybe Hashem is going to decree upon me chayim. Maybe Hashem is going to prolong my life. Maybe I'm not going to live for 6 months. Maybe I'm going to live for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years. And v'yelimuchon lechol, and I'll have enough food to be able to eat for all those years of my life. That's what the ant is thinking to itself, so to speak. It's thinking to itself that. Therefore, it gathers so much, and therefore does that. And then the Medrash says that Reb Shimon ben Yochai attested to this, attested to the tremendous volume of food that the ant collects. Maisa Hoya, there was an incident, Matzu Bebor Shalom, they found in the anthill of the ant, Shalosh Meyas Kor, 300 Kor, which is a very, very large volume. I forget exactly what it is in modern measurements. It's a very, very large amount. Masha Machneses Minakad's what it gathered from the summertime, Lahore for the winter. It gathered tremendous amounts. So he attested to that. And that's what the ant is. So these are the characteristics of the ant. The characteristics of the ant. Essentially, we saw three characteristics of the ant. One characteristic of the ant is that it stores its food in the middle story. The second is that it stores a tremendous amount of food despite its short lifespan and it's not needing all of that. And number three, it has this like almost like an attitude or an optimism that it's going to live for a long time. That's why it stores so much. Three characteristics. Again, stores the food inside the middle story. It stores tremendous amounts, a colossal amount of volume. And number three, it has this, you know, almost like silly expectation or hope that it's going to live for a long time. They're the characteristics. Now, you have to take this very seriously because Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, is telling us, look at an ant. Like the otzel, the lazy one, the lazy person should contemplate the ant and learn from its ways. Learn from its ways and grow wise. That's what he said. So we have to understand. And if these are the characteristics of the ant that the Medrash is highlighting, then this is very, very important. Says the Medrash, Lefikach, therefore, Amar Shlomo, this is why Shlomo said, Leich el namala otzel, the lazy one should go to the ant, and re'ei derechecha v'chacham, observe its ways and become wise. Af atem, and here's the message, the first message at least. Af atem heskinu lachem mitzvahs min ha'olam hazeh l'olam haba. Also you should prepare mitzvahs from this world for the next world. In other words, the mashal of the ant. The ants gathering so much produce, so much food for the future is a mashal, is a metaphor for us to be able to learn from that, to gather so much for the future. What's the future? Olam haba. And this is my, I've come back to this all the time in all of our classes. I don't do it deliberately. I just stumble upon these ideas. What's it all about? What's it all about? What's life all about? It's not about this world. It's all about Olam Haba. It's all about Olam Haba. And we learn from the ant, the message, the lesson of storing mitzvahs for the next world, for Olam Haba. The ant is storing so much material, so many, you know, kernels for the next, for its future. We have to do the same thing. That's what he says. Now, the truth is, if you dig a little bit deeper into this and think more about those three characteristics, because again, preparing for the future only seems to cover one of those characteristics of the ant, because it prepares a lot of material, a lot of substance for the future. But the other two examples, or the other two characteristics, well, the first one, it stores it in the middle story. So one of the commentaries points out and says that the lower story, the middle story, the upper story is symbolic of how best to protect the mitzvahs we have. And there was really, when we look at mitzvahs, when we look at our life as Yidden and the mitzvahs which we do, there are really two foci we're supposed to have on those mitzvahs. Number one, to gather a lot of mitzvahs, to do a lot of mitzvahs, as many mitzvahs as possible. We say this in the davening, Ishmael Esrei, at the end of davening, Alukain Datzor, Tirdof Nafshi b'mitzvah secha, may my soul chase after your mitzvahs. This is something which if we pay attention to it every day, three times a day, we are beseeching the Almighty to say, please Hashem, aid me, help me to pursue and to chase your mitzvahs. This is, you know, getting as many mitzvahs as possible, having as many, many mitzvahs, because that's our ticket to Olam Haba. Right? Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give merit to us. Therefore, Lefikach, Hibul Lehem Torah Mitzvahs. He's given us many mitzvahs, just like the ant. He's storing so much. But that's vis-a-vis storing a lot and preparing a lot for the next world, many, many mitzvahs. But the other aspect of it is storing it in a safe place, is preserving the ant stores the produce in the safest place possible to preserve it, that it shouldn't decay, shouldn't get subject to the mud, or subject to the rain. So he's this. One of the Nachlas Eliezer says that that's a mashal for our mitzvahs, that we shouldn't sully our mitzvahs. How do we sully our mitzvahs? You know, we don't do it in clean places. We're not clean ourselves when we're doing mitzvahs. We're not holding the mitzvah with preciousness, and we're not like elevating the mitzvah. We're not spending money on the mitzvah. You know, it's a reminder again that someone is coming in a couple of weeks from now. In this shul and also Avos Torah, Rabbi Long is going to be selling mezuzahs and selling tefillin. And one of the things which he speaks about, encourages people to really think about, is make sure your mitzvah, make sure your tefillin, and make sure your mezuzahs are embellished. Are really, you know, they look beautiful. When you're buying a mezuzah, don't just look for the cheapest mezuzah or the cheapest tefillin. Look for the best tefillin, as much as you can afford. It's all part and parcel of chashivas and mitzvahs. But that's what the ant is teaching us. By the ant taking its wheat and putting it in the best place possible is a mashal for us to put our mitzvahs, or to treat our mitzvahs in the best way possible. Don't put it in the mud, right? And don't also, right, subject the mitzvahs to the rain. What's the rain? The rain is the unexpected disturbances to our mitzvahs. That's what he said. Nachlas Eliezer says it's the unexpected disturbances to our mitzvahs. The rain can come anytime and just destroy what you have, unless you are prepared ahead of time. And therefore, the ant puts it in the middle story, protects the mitzvahs. That's the first message. But the second, the other aspect of the ant was the fact that it doesn't, it says it thinks it's going to live for a long time. It thinks it's going to live for a long period of time. It's a very interesting thing because, you know, the Pasuk says the lazy one should look at the ant. Why the lazy one specifically? Why not the, you know, I mean, everyone can learn from an ant. Why specifically a lazy one? So one of the commentaries again says, because we make a mistake to think that laziness is simply not liking hard work and wanting things to be easy. Right? That's the typical superficial, shallow way of looking at a lazy person. That he just doesn't want to work so hard. He doesn't like hard work. Laziness really is much deeper than that. Laziness oftentimes is, it could be that, but laziness is also, it can oftentimes be a lack of confidence, a lack of belief in the pursuit. When you don't believe in the pursuit, when you don't believe in the success, either you don't believe in yourself or I don't believe in the true value of this pursuit, therefore you're lazy, you don't bother doing it. So laziness, or the solution, the antidote to laziness, is to appreciate your potential and also to appreciate the value of the pursuit itself. The ant, right, is the ultimate paragon of this. The ultimate example. He's not going to live for more than 6 months. I mean, what? It's stupid. You're not going to live for more than... How does it go about its life? It goes about its life. It's going to live for eternity. What kind of optimism is that? This is the ultimate example of optimism. I mean, yeah, so if a person does that, then maybe that would be silly, but it's an ant. We can learn from an ant. But we learn from an ant optimism, self-confidence, and belief in the system. Belief in the system that this is going to take us somewhere. And therefore, when you plug it back into this, you know, this phrase over here, prepare ourselves in this world with mitzvahs for Olam Haba, we need to have three things in mind. Number one, we have to think about the quality of our mitzvahs, preserve our mitzvahs, because these are going to stay with us. These are going to stay with us. You know, we think about all of the things we amass, all of the stuff which we acquire in our lives. It's unbelievable. You know, all the stuff, you know, it's like we learned about this in the Talmud Devorah a few months ago. There are three things which accompany us in life: our possessions and our wealth, our family, and our mitzvahs. Our possession and wealth, they disappear well before a person gets to the grave. They're gone already by then. Once a person's on his way to the grave, all of his possessions and all of his wealth have zero, zero, zero value to him completely. Everything is gone, right? He's just left by himself. He's got his family with him. They'll accompany to them to the grave. They'll give their final farewell to him. But once he's buried, they're gone as well. The family's not going to be there either with him or her. Right. What's the final accompaniment which will stay with the person into Olam Haba, into the next world? The mitzvahs, right? It's the mitzvahs. Our mitzvahs are eternal accompaniments, our eternal, you know, colleagues or comrades of ours for the next world. So therefore, right? Therefore, again, look at the ant. The ant is preserving his mitzvahs, is preserving his food. We preserve our mitzvahs. Accumulates lots and lots of food. We accumulate lots and lots of mitzvahs. But confidence as well, and optimism, yes, because that's the key. The key to this whole thing is I believe in my potential, I believe in my ability, and I believe in the system of mitzvahs that it's going to be with me forever and forever. That's the first lesson over here. That's the folks. So when the Medrash says, learn from the ant, that af atem haskinu lachem, prepare mitzvahs from this world for the next world. But the Pasuk said, he says, learn from it, look at its ways and become wise. So ways is plural. So there's another lesson as well from the ant, another lesson. What is the message of the plural of ways? Become wise, the Rabbanan said, Rei derech eretz. Look at the derech eretz that the ant has. And ant, it's amazing. We never imagined, like, my little Fred the ant, way back when, had so much to teach me. It took me so long to find out. Rei derech eretz sheish bo, look at the derech eretz that this little Fred the ant has. Shebarachas min hagezel, that it runs away from stealing. It runs away from thievery. Amar Shimon ben Chalafta. Rishim ben Chalafta says, Maisa, there was an incident, but the Mola Achas, he was maybe like me, he was looking at ants. It was a certain incident. Shapila Chita, that it dropped a piece of wheat, one piece of wheat, its piece of wheat. Vahikulim bois marichas bar, other ants came along and took a smell of that on this little tiny piece of wheat that this Fred, the ant, dropped. Vlo Haisa Achas ben, the Telesusa, the other ants didn't take it. The other ants were respectful. The other ants didn't take the piece of wheat. Ba'osa, and then Fred came along, Shahisa Shalak, whose piece of wheat it was, Vanotlosa, and took it. So you see that the ants don't have any, they have a lot of tremendous respect and tremendous derech eretz in not stealing from anyone else. What's the lesson of that? What is the lesson of that? It's an interesting, this is a thought I had, is that on the one hand, we just spoke about the tremendous value of mitzvahs, their ticket to Olam Haba. They're going to go with us into Olam Haba. That's the mitzvahs. But it shouldn't come at the expense of basic derech eretz among people. Basic derech eretz among people. Because sometimes we have the two categories. The mitzvah's been Olam Chavera, been Olam Lamakam. So the first message of the ant is the Olam Haba, the eternity, the spiritual eternity of the ant. That it's going to be forever and forever. Mitzvah is going to be forever and forever. But there shouldn't come at the expense of the derech eretz, of common decency, which is symbolized by the gezel, by not stealing. There's one other idea I just want to say. So we have two messages, again, the mitzvahs and then derech eretz and proper conduct. There's another interesting idea. Rav Hutna in the Pachad Yitzchak, in the first maimer of the Pesach Maimorim of Pachad Yitzchak, he points out, it's a very fascinating discussion, and he talks about another aspect, another dimension of an ant. And he's talking about it in the context of zrizus. Zrizus is alacrity, right? So a lazy person doesn't have alacrity. That's he's lacking of alacrity. So therefore, we have to have alacrity. So alacrity can mean either rushing to do things, doing things as quickly as possible. But he points out, he says, if you really think about it, there's a much higher, profounder definition of alacrity. And that is not so much about reducing time, but actually eliminating the presence of time. Eliminating the presence of time. And what does that mean? So he says that when Hashem created the universe, right? Bereishis bara lakim es hashamayim es haaretz, in the beginning he created the world. But one of the things which we say in the prayer Baruch Shama is Baruch Osa Bereishis, that Hashem creates Bereishis, that did create Bereishis. He created the beginning. The Vilna Gaon says that's the illusion of the fact that time is also a physically created thing. Time, Einstein came along and said E equals MC squared because time and matter are related to each other, right? But we already understood this for thousands of years beforehand, but time is part of the physical universe. It's not a spiritual phenomenon. It's a physical thing. So time is physical too. So, when a person really is in touch with the neshama within, when they're really, the person's really living in the world of the soul, the soul is beyond time and space. The soul is beyond time and space. The soul wants to escape time and space. We have to live in the physical world. We have to be here and deal with it. But really, the deep down wish of the neshama is to escape the boundaries of time and space. So really, a very, very, very neshama-dika person who's really like living neshama almost has an aversion to time, has an aversion to the presence of time, and wants to escape the parameters of time, just like the neshama wants to escape the parameters and the limitations of the physical world. It wants to escape the limitations of time as well. And therefore, a higher type of zrizus, a higher type of alacrity, is this effort and this like internal urge to escape the limitations of time, to go beyond, to live in a spiritual place. We have to live here. We have to deal with it with all the physical. But really, the neshama within wants to be beyond. Right? This is also, the Medrash says, that the compares it to a princess who a peasant wants to marry the princess. I think it's a pasuk, a medrash, that the peasant wants to marry the princess, but the princess says, the king says that you can't marry the peasant because the princess needs a prince, right? So the neshama too, it's a mashal for the neshama. The neshama doesn't really like this world, it doesn't. The neshama deep down doesn't really like the physical world. We have to, and we're commanded, we are charged with living with the physical world to elevate it all. But really, the inner will, the inner identity of the neshama is not so satisfied. With the pasuk, it says, "Lo samale," the soul is not satisfied with the physical. So he says that's another example of the ant. The ant has that same characteristic. Now, the ant doesn't have a neshama, the ant is not spiritual, but this complete oblivion to time is the same idea. The ant is oblivious to the notion of time. completely oblivious. I mean, it's, there's nothing more starker than the ant only living for 6 months and gathering enough produce for 20 years or however, a whole year. It's beyond time. It's like living in a different, it's like you're out of, if you had the ability to talk to the ant, you'd say to the ant, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you're completely oblivious to the notion of time. Do you realize you're going to only live for 6 months? He said, oh, I don't know what 6 months means. I don't know. What time? Time? You know, the ant is symbolic of being beyond the limitations of time. And therefore, it's a further message of the ant all about what life is all about. We learn from Fred the ant what life is all about. This is what we're learning from this medrash. How does this tie into our pasuk, into the parasha? You wondered where you were for a second, right? So the medrash continues and says, Re'ei chachma, look at this wisdom, look at this smarts, this wisdom, sheishba, that the ant has, v'kala shavach hazeh, and its praiseworthiness. Look at this wisdom, look at its inherent clarity of purpose of life. And the shevach, it doesn't steal, it's praise, sheishba that it has, shalomda meberia velo shofet velo shota, has no one to instruct it. It does it all inherently. There is no one, there is no teacher, there is no judge, there's no officer, there's no one that teaches the ant to do all of these things. As the pasuk says in Mishlei, in the verse which we're quoting, asha ein lo kotzin, and it has no chief, shota umoshal, has no chief, officer, or ruler over it, and it does all these wonderful, wonderful things. All these wonderful things. And here's the punchline. Atem, you and I, us, sheminisi lechem, Hashem says, I made for you, shoftim v'shotrim, I made for you judges and officers, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so, shetishmu'u and you should listen to them. Havei, and that's the meaning of our pasuk at the beginning of the parasha, shoftim v'shotrim titin lecha b'chol sherecha, make sure to have judges to teach you and officers to compel you. That's the point of the pasuk. The point is, here you have an example of incredible value, incredible praise, the ant. And I wish I could be like that. I wish. Well, you know what? Take stock. We should take stock. What do we have at our disposal? We have a whole system. We have a whole infrastructure of teachers, of chachamim, of judges, and not just that, but also shotrim. The truth is, we don't really have shotrim today. We don't have officers compelling the law to be fulfilled. But that's how it used to be in yester generation, in the days of, you know, the Beis Hamikdash. There were police officers enforcing the law. It was done with tremendous wisdom and tremendous chachma with it. But they had that. And this system is what gets us along. We don't have, you know, we the goal is what the ant does. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's what we have to try to aspire to. It's hard to do it by ourselves. But we have a system. We have a whole, we come to classes. You come to classes. I go to classes too, right? We have a whole infrastructure of teachers, of judges, of shoftim. We don't have the shoftim necessary, but I'll tell you this, that there are certain rabbis, like I'm reading now the biography or the book which was written about my Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, you know, after he passed away a few years ago. There's a book which the yeshiva produced and telling stories about little anecdotes and I mean, it's particularly special to me because all these little anecdotes they describe about him, I can relate to because I saw it, I experienced it myself. But he had like a, you know, he had this incredible, you know, quality of being an amazing teacher, an amazing inspirer. I mean, tremendous inspirer, world renowned. But he had this ability to be able to give you a clap, to give you a clap, to kind of to put you in place, and to not. He wasn't afraid to give. He understood people well enough to know when it's the right time, when it's the wrong time. But he would get, and then it was always the badge of honor if you were given like a clap, not a clap, like a rebuke by the Rosh Hashiva. I've told stories about that before, you know, happened to me, right? But it's because we need that too. That's part of the educational system. It's not just about sitting back and academically learning and just having passive and power educational academic learning experiences. It's about, you know, learning from people also who are going to give us a bit of a clap as well to kind of keep us on the straight and narrow. But that's a gift. That's the gift which is going to take us to Olam Haba. That's the gift which is going to take us to Olam Haba, to be like the ant. The ant has this tremendous virtue. Without any of that, we have all of that, and therefore we should be so thankful to it. And that's what that's how the Medrash ties it into the Pasuk. You know, be grateful. It's an amazing, it's like a powered steering in our service of Hashem, that we have a system of shoftim v'shotrim, and that's the commandment, have shoftim, we should have. If we're being told to have it, therefore we should embrace it with tremendous love and excitement, because all we have to do is just look at that ant. When you see an ant again, think about those qualities. Think about how the industriousness of the ant. It's beyond time. It's like living beyond time, a reminder of us living beyond time, of being in the spiritual space. It's amassing so much material, so much food. It reminds us, let's amass as many mitzvahs as possible. It's protecting its food. It should remind us to protect our mitzvahs, to preserve our mitzvahs. But all of that, together with having decency, common decency, and derech eretz among our peers and people around us, and let alone not to steal. And that's the message of the ant.